Australia is here, we'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the government of PNG and Health.
And we work side by side with the PNGDF and their Department of Defence.
PNG and Australian governments also prioritise the need to address the issue of family and sexual violence.
Australia's assistance to Papua New Guinea really covers all sectors.
Hello and welcome to AHC On Air. I'm Greg Avira. In this first edition for this year, we will look at Australia's support towards PNG's COVID-19 response. Australia continues to work closely with Papua New Guinea to support its COVID-19 response following the recent surge in numbers at the end of February. So far, a total of 8,480 vaccines from Australia's own stocks have been delivered to Papua New Guinea for frontline workers. This is part of Australia's comprehensive assistance to support the government of PNG's response to COVID-19. The assistance includes consumables such as personal protective equipment, testing consumables, and the deployment of a 20-member Australian Medical Assistance Team, or AusMed, to Port Moresby to work with PNG health workers at the Port Moresby General Hospital. And in this edition of AHC On Air, we bring you the replay of NBC's Talkback program on AusMed updates, where Australian High Commissioner John Philp and AusMed team leader Dr. Mark Little were guests on the show, as well as Dr. Downey Esserom. They were hosted by NBC's Peter Sindra and Information, Communication and Technology Minister Honorable Timothy Masiu.
Listeners, believe me, I'm long got all guest from the studio, but a lot of talks are usat in the studio, as usual. I got one to the studio. I'm the Minister of Communication, Information and Technology. I can see you smiling, and I know you saw also in the one time you, this is the time.
We have a lot come back to the program, we have a lot of time. I got two all guests long bitupla pita all is in down long studio Australian High Commissioner come long Papua New Guinea long His Excellency John Phillips and by come join me long program long me long I mean first time His Excellency John Phillips and me comes in on TV me long studio I'm I think second time now but I bring him one time not a guest I'm come long AusMed. AusMed and online also all medical team long Australia where all the specialized lo this kind of heavy time Australia like Salim all 7 months long em long all issues long health also this plan now immigal lo COVID-19 em this plan team em all save Salim all go out na mi hamo master also part of the government long Papua New Guinea and long Prime Minister Honorable James Marape. Australia, I'm giving me plan this plan team long AusMed. All this one time you mean, not we got this plan American team. All two only come stop inside long country. Emi good plan. Emi good plan. Long tradition long before yet in up now. Australia, you know, have lost until Papua New Guinea. Long all get a heavy come up. Long side long natural disasters or same long. Last time we even got tribal Guria or earthquake and we come up long Hela province, na some of Highlands provinces, Australia Salim helping me come through long Kai Kai, na something on some helping me. Na two em Salim would walk money come. So we got here Dr. Mark Little. I think me not think him is the name Little like Tombla strong pla hookup long West Tigers every walk lo M1 pla hookup long West Tigers so me connect him with us all this place so me like you harim him good doctor I'm lead doctor blow this place team long AusMed me believe what Sam and we start one time me long studio na too Dr. Downey pla long I'm must lo look him again long studio
Minister His Excellency nice to have you on the show my colleague Dr. Little welcome.
Yeah, and again, our listeners of Sembla Talk Tennis, Lord is for a time, an honor, a privilege. You know, I was in the studio, but I was in the office, but then I realized Ombla Lompula Man and Kamna Hobart Kamla Studio. But and then I realized it was Australian High Commissioner, Mr. John Phillips. Again, thank you so much. And the thought of like, somebody who knows the place, somebody that has been here, and just as an acknowledgement, appreciation that, you know, taking time to be here. And this program, it's over a year, going into the second month of our program now, 171 program. Wow. We have with Dr. Downey and Minister. For us, it's the importance of information, as Minister said, lack of information, right information. Minister.
Peter, yeah, you rightly said it. You know, we have a problem, and that is the misinformation and lack of information. So, in this program, we try our best to make sure that information is going out, the right and the real information is going out. And that's why we always have Dr. Downey with us. Mm-hmm. And, we always base, what we tell our people on what the National Coordinating Center, the reports they come up with, the updates they give us, and mm-hmm. The new information that comes out. And
Was a High Commissioner, Dr. Little, I know you'll be here for just an hour with us, so an honor and a privilege. Now, High Commissioner, information, as you have heard, and for us, is important, the importance of information, dissemination of information to our people. And, Papua New Guinea, so diverse, so, your take on the importance of information.
I should say, Mihama Song comes in down, along Peter Sindra, Honorable Timothy Massieu, Minister Long. Telecommunications.
Thank you.
Dr. Downey, Long, Headman Long, Australian Medical Assistance Team, Dr. Mark Little. Long comes in down one time, Yumi Long Dispala Program, Talkback Program tonight. Peter, you asked about the importance of the information. I think there is so much bad information in the world today, so many things that are wrong. It's very important to have really trusted sources of information. We hope that people will trust the information they get from the government. But if that is problematic, I think the information we can get from scientists, from doctors, from our teachers is very important to listen to. I'm very troubled by some of the information we read on Facebook or on WhatsApp.
No, that's true.
Some of it's correct. A lot of it is very poor and bad misinformation. It's important to listen to the scientists on diseases, on COVID-19 and on vaccines.
Commissioner, thank you. Dr. Mark Little, I know you've been in Indonesia, Pakistan, New Zealand. Your experience, the importance of information.
Thank you very much, and thank you for such a warm welcome to you all. I apologise, I can't speak pidgin, but I've been working very closely with Dr. Downey over this month and the last few months that I was here last year. Look, as a doctor, information and correct information is really essential. Every day we base our medical decisions on information and science. And it is really, really important for everyone to understand the science and to understand the information, because as you've all said, there is such bad information around about this disease. And this disease is real, and sadly it's killing people of Papua New Guinea. And the only way we can fix this problem is for all of us to work together and to listen to the experts like Dr. Downey and other people here working in this country to follow the guidelines and the recommendations. They're not making these recommendations up. They're basing them on science and facts.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Little. Now, your reasons here, I mean, you're here, invitation. At the same time, I believe that the contribution that you will have in Papua New Guinea response action to address especially the spread of COVID-19. Just briefly go through the role of OSMET in PNG.
Sure. So this is my second trip. I was here last year when we had the first outbreak in August, September last year. I've now been back for nearly a month in Papua New Guinea. So the OSMAT team, the Australian Medical Assistance Team, is verified by the World Health Organization. And that means we come up to a standard, a very high standard, that the World Health Organization sets. And really the basis is that we are here to work with the health people of Papua New Guinea to do what they would like us to do. And so this trip We have realised that Port Moresby General Hospital, so your main hospital in your country, had significant problems with a number of staff being ill and a number of patients that were in the hospital. And so our team is working with the doctors and nurses in PomGen to help look after the people of Papua New Guinea and also help with systems and processes so that... heaven help us, we won't have another wave, but if there is, that they've got some of our thinking on how we approach these problems. And so I have doctors and nurses working in the intensive care, in the emergency department, in the maternity unit, and also with the leadership, with the Director of Medical Services and the Director of Nursing, on a day-to-day basis, how that hospital works. And we've been really warmly received, and we're really, the team, I've just sat down and had a long meeting with them. They're all very happy and getting on really well and really enjoying working with our Papua New Guinean friends.
Yeah, well, thank you, Doctor. Now, John Phillips, apart from AusMed, I believe that's one of our contribution to PNG to address. What would be others that Australia government is contributing to the fight with Papua New Guinea in fighting the spread of COVID-19?
Well, we know Australia and Papua New Guinea are so close, and we know that in previous times that Papua New Guineans have been there to help Australians when we need it, and it's important to us to help Papua New Guinea when they need it too. It's important also to recognise that we think that if we protect Papua New Guinea, if we help Papua New Guinea protect itself, that helps to protect Australia. So last year we provided about $60 million, that's 150 million kina, or so, to help all the provincial health authorities to prepare for COVID-19, to set up isolation centres, to come up with a plan to deal with coronavirus, to get personal protective equipment like masks and gowns and so on, and to do public information about the coronavirus. This year, as there's been this really huge surge in just the last month or two, we really see the need is urgent. Prime Minister Marape spoke to my Prime Minister, and they talk a lot. In fact, they have a very good relationship. And in response to the request of the Papua New Guinean government, we've sent the AusMed team, headed by Dr. Little, so that's one part of it. We also sent up 8,000 vaccine doses from Australia's own vaccine supply to help with the first people we need to vaccinate, the people in the hospitals, the frontline health workers in NCD who we saw were being knocked out and unable to work at the hospital. So that was, for us, a really important first thing to be able to do. We've also been trying to find where we can get other vaccines for Papua New Guinea. I think you've probably talked about there's a huge shortage of vaccine suppliers all over the world. So our government has joined with the Papua New Guinea government to talk to the US government. We've written to the US president, to the European Union, to a lot of other countries saying, look, can we find supply to help Papua New Guinea? And it's partly as a result of that that the COVAX facility that we contributed to has sent 132,000 vaccine doses to Papua New Guinea, and the government will roll that out from the 5th of May. Dr. Downey can talk a bit more about this in a second, but that's only the first thing. So that will help support the frontline workers in a number of provinces, but we need to make sure that we're providing more. So the overall assistance we're giving is $144 million. That's 390 million kina over 2 years. And that's to provide enough to help for the whole vaccine program, to purchase the vaccines for Papua New Guinea, in addition to some we will give, to do the logistics to get them out to provincial centres, to districts, to townships, for the logistics to get them out. But very importantly, I think, for the information materials for people like Peter to use, to make sure people have information. This vaccine is not compulsory anywhere. It's not compulsory in my country, but there's no medicine for COVID-19 if you catch it. The only thing you can do is to take a vaccine to stop from getting it in the first place. And although people worry a bit about side effects from the vaccine, I know that the vaccine side effects are much, much less bad than catching coronavirus, people dying from that. Dr. Little can testify. So we're very determined to spend a lot of time and effort to support Papua New Guinea and everything it's doing, everything Dr. Downey and his department are doing to try and combat the coronavirus in Papua New Guinea.
Can I just ask a question to Dr. Little,
Minister.
Yeah, as far as his observation is concerned, because this is your second time, second tour of duty, you know, in PNG. What do you see now, since you were here in the beginning, in the first instance, and now your second visit to the country?
So firstly, what I'm seeing is a lot of people in Papua New Guinea, in the health department, the National Coordination Centre, who are working exceptionally hard to look after the health and well-being of their people. And I am every day amazed at how hard-working these people are. Dr. Downey and I, we see each other each day, and he is working so hard with his team. I'm very, very impressed, and same with the hospital. I think my sense was last time we had a number of cases, but not lots of cases, and I think a lot of people thought, that's it. Mm. Papua New Guinea's done well. We won't get the disease. You know, there's something about us that means we won't get the infection. And I think this time this has been the realisation that this is a real disease and people are really dying from it. And if you look at the numbers are percentage-wise of people dying and the number of cases is not unlike other countries. And so I hope and I sense that people now are actually realising that we have a problem in Papua New Guinea and we have to do things to make ourselves better. And I really want to re-emphasise what John has said, and I know both of you agree with, is that this vaccination campaign is really, really important. And if I may talk about the vaccine.
Sure, yes, sure.
Look, from my point of view, this vaccine is incredible. And the reason we've got it so quickly is so much money was spent by so many countries to make it. Billions and billions and billions of dollars. And I tell you now, if when we were making the polio vaccine, we'd spent billions and billions of dollars on it, we would have had it in about 6 months. And so it's been incredible science that's driven this. And in life, there is a risk with everything we do. You might have, your doctor might write you a prescription for some antibiotics and you might have that allergic reaction, that very dangerous reaction to an antibiotic. The thing is that coronavirus kills and we're seeing it. We're seeing it in my country, we're seeing it in this country. If you look at what's happening in the United States and Europe and the UK, you look at what's happening in India this week, people are dying from it. This vaccine is very, very safe. Yes, there are very, very rare side effects. Now, you've heard about the clotting, the thromboembolic things. So it's one in 250,000 people. So if people think of the ANZ Stadium where they play the NRL Grand Final, it would mean three stadiums full of people vaccinated for one person to have an adverse reaction. Whereas if you get coronavirus and you get admitted to hospital, one in five will have a blood clot. One in five. So for me, this is a very safe vaccine. We know it saves lives. We've seen it in Europe and UK. We know that it lessens people going into hospital. We know it makes you less ill. It's essential, I think, that people get vaccinated. Yeah.
Dr. Mark Little, team leader of the Australian Medical Assistance Team, or AusMed. With him on the program is Australian High Commissioner John Philp. Both were guests on the NBC Talkback show hosted by NBC's Peter Sindra and Communication and Technology Minister Honorable Timothy Masiu. Also on the Talkback show was Dr. Downey Asarom, COVID-19 National Incident Manager.
Immunization helps children grow into healthy adults. Vaccinated healthy children can attend school and reap the benefits of education, and their parents are able to participate in the workforce, putting communities on the path to greater economic prosperity. Vaccines bring us closer to a healthier, more prosperous world.
This is AHC On Air, and we bring you the replay of NBC's Talkback show, where Australian High Commissioner John Philp and AusMed team leader Dr. Mark Little gave updates on the Australian medical assistance to PNG's COVID-19 response. Dr. Little is not new to Papua New Guinea, having visited the country last year at the start of the pandemic in the country. Here he talks about the realization of the coronavirus.
Doctor, just on the clot. What actually happens? Why is the clot there?
The vaccine itself. You've probably seen the picture of the virus. So the virus is a circle. It's got those spiky things on it.
Yes.
And what the vaccine does is it makes your body make antibodies to the spiky things. And we know in humans that the spiky things somehow cause clotting. If you get it, one in five.
Mm-hmm.
We're not quite sure why this happens, but we wonder if it's somehow related in some people, some very rare people, it triggers off a reaction which causes this. The AZ vaccine is made by the Oxford vaccine group. They are world leaders. They're one of the best in the world at making vaccines, but no one's quite sure why this is happening. But it is exceptionally rare, that this reaction.
That's good information, you know, because there's a lot of people who are, you know, because of clot, you know, they're talking, you know, you know, differently.
Yeah.
And it's good information that, but your experience, Dr. Little, being to other countries before coming to PNG, how do you compare?
So I haven't been to other countries doing coronavirus work, so there have been natural disasters. Look, we know that the healthcare system here is a system that's always under stress. And what this coronavirus crisis has done is it's put more stress on a system. And so this is one of the reasons I'm not a politician, but this is one of the reasons why our government wants to help the people of Papua New Guinea, because we know that the system needs help when it's under stress. Our health system, if you watch what happened in Victoria, our health system in Victoria really struggled and really was stressed. And I think we know, having gone through it in Australia with Victoria and other states, we know that this country needs the support like AusMat and like John has talked about to help the people. So I'm really glad I'm here, actually, and I'm really glad that politicians and people like our High Commissioner are taking the time to come and talk to people and are organising for help and support and significant help and support to help the people of Papua New Guinea.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Little. Dr. Downey, Harry, talk with Dr. Little and make him, you know, like you, it would be that you make at all listeners premier. Yeah? Long halvim, long strong him. Dr. Little and Dr. Yes. Vaccine, maybe a lot of time to strong him talk pisin that you got the listeners from you, Dr. Dow.
Thank you. Yeah, Bambi talk pisin. Mi bla mama stru lo kisim His Excellency, as we are commissioner with him, team lead blo AusMat. Bambi just stress him when I'm talk Dr. Little talk penis. Health system blo Papua New Guinea is classified at the moment, and I keep saying this, as a fragile health system. And a fragile health system, when you put it under stress, especially with an infection like COVID-19, this health system will collapse. That's the bottom line. So we need all the support. Dr. Little was here during SOE. PNG was doing very well. But why? Because we responded very early. We locked down the borders. I think the strategies that we used pre-SOE were the right strategies. Headed to the message where Mibla Law Control Center will put him out. Now, all man by ask him, why na mi blood him support? System blow me am weak. Now anytime I collapse, suppose doctors, nurses, the support staff in the hospital get sick, everybody will be sick. AusMat all come last year, this year can all come at them big platinum long. Because all looking problem blow me now looking most of me plan the case. All come low one time all doctors, all nurses, clinicians, all logisticians, am low living unique. You may got team two US two staff. You may get team to the Germany stop. So, me black sim to talk to solo se one platinum le UK am ready locum. Me black arm to all sem China work lo ready lo alim you miss. So, we need all the support we can. I think it's very, very important. Now, they are here to share their experience and expertise, and some of them have worked in a lot of countries, a lot of challenging places. Papua New Guinea is one of them.
Dr. Downey Esserom, COVID-19 National Incident Manager. He was also a guest on the Talkback Show last week.
World Immunization Week is celebrated worldwide from April 24th to the 30th. Immunization is a safe and effective way of protecting people against harmful diseases. Immunization saves lives.
Welcome back. We're coming towards the end of the program. Before we end, Dr. Little talks more on vaccines and their importance, and then we hear last remarks from NBC's Talkback Show host, Peter Sindra, and Honorable Timothy Masiu.
So the question to Dr. Little, just quickly, the cases that you have seen, are they mild or are they, critical?
Yeah. Sadly, we're seeing all types of cases. The majority of people are mild or moderate, but there are severe and critical cases that our team have looked after over the last few weeks. And sadly, we've had some people die. And every death is a tragedy, and every death really hurts us and hurts the staff as well, the local staff, because that person will not be here for Christmas, will not be here for christenings, birthdays, weddings, all those sort of things. And family is what makes this country. It's family that's what makes our country, but very much family is a really important thing. And I think that there are good stories. People are surviving.
Yes.
But we are seeing these sad stories as well.
One year tonight.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Survived.
Yeah, very much so. And I was very glad to see Dr. Downey come back to work, believe you me. It was really nice to see him again.
Yeah.
And so I think for people, if I can talk to your listeners, just look around your family. Look around when you have a family event. And just imagine if one or two of your family members won't be here for Christmas. And it's the simple things of wearing a mask when you go out, washing your hands, keeping your distance.
Yes.
And when you are able to have the vaccine, take the vaccine. Because you do want to spend, we all want to spend those special times with our families. And it's such an important thing. And really, we have to look after our families.
On that note, is your team going out to the provinces as well, or are you going to be just stationed in Port Moresby?
Yeah, so we looked around and we felt, and talking to all the staff at Port Moresby Hospital, we thought if we could get your main referral hospital for the country working and working well,
okay,
we thought there'd be a lot of benefit to the entire country. There's 20 of us, and it's very hard.
Mm.
There's only a limited number of us, and this is a huge country, and it was really trying to work out what to do. So we thought the best impact we could have was with your major hospital, which is where we've been. Having said that, there's two of us working with Dr. Downey and his team in the National Coordination Centre, and I'm working with Dr. Gary Ngo, who is working with the provinces in particular, because I think we all recognise that Papua New Guinea is not just Port Moresby. There's most of the people live outside Port Moresby and probably very happily live outside Port Moresby. So we've realised from a leadership point of view that supporting Dr. Ngo and Dr. Downey's team with the provinces and how we can help understanding where the gaps are with the healthcare and then helping to use the system to support the hospitals in the provinces. So that's what I've been doing with the team at the NCC.
Well, just back to the vaccines.
Yeah.
You know, we are hearing that, you know, AstraZeneca is one of those, the one that is in the country right now. And I also believe there's another vaccine. What is the difference between AstraZeneca and the other vaccines?
Yeah. So the vaccines that are currently recommended by the World Health Organization is the AstraZeneca, the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. There are other vaccines that are being trialled around the world. And as a doctor, we haven't seen sort of the science, when you do a study to show that something works, you've got to publish it and it goes through what we call a peer review process. So there are other vaccines around. So the main difference, if I take the Pfizer vaccine, is it's this new technology called mRNA vaccine. And what that means is mRNA means messenger RNA. And so the vaccine makes your cell make those spiky things on the outside of the virus. And that then makes the antibodies. And that's similar for some of the other vaccines as well that are out. And so the difficulty with some of these vaccines, though, is you need to keep them at minus 70.
Yes.
And in this country, that cold chain is really difficult. I can tell you that cold chain is difficult in Australia. And so the beauty with the AstraZeneca is it's your normal cold chain process for all the vaccines that you normally use for your childhood vaccines. It's the same process. And that's what the beauty is for this country, which is so remote. Yeah.
Just one more question on the vaccines. I have two of my colleagues who took the shot on the AstraZeneca.
Yeah.
And they started to feel some side effects.
Mm.
And it didn't last long. It's just an overnight thing.
Yeah.
Is it normal?
Yeah, it is. So when you look at all the studies, about 55 to 60% of people will have a mild reaction. And by that, most will get a sore arm. I got a sore arm, so I'm fully vaccinated. So I got a sore arm. Some people get aches and pains. Some people, less, about 15%, will get a fever. And that usually is mild, and it lasts 24 to 48 hours. And normally Panadol or paracetamol is all you need. And that actually means the vaccine's starting to work and you've actually got a good immune system, because that's your immune system saying, hey, I need to start making antibodies to this thing. So, and that's a very, very common thing.
Yeah, listeners, one of my country people, you get a union. Me, Hamas, Logat, what a Milo studio, the host, Minister of Communication Information Technology, Dr. Downey, but me, like a friend. Tupla, given time, and Mark him, Osmet, team leader, Dr. Mark Little, and big man, true, but then taking time, no come, see, I want to play, no studio, and Australian High Commissioner to Papua New Guinea.
And this is how we wrap up this month's edition. Thanks to NBC for letting us run their COVID-19 talkback show on AHC On Air. Until next time, I'm Gregory Avira. Bye for now.
Australia is here, we'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the Government of PNG and Health.
And we work side by side with the PNGDF and their Department of Defence.
PNG and Australian governments also prioritise the need to address the issue of family and sexual violence.
Australia's Assistance to Papua New Guinea really covers all sectors.